minutes on baptism. There's a little bit more in the Bible as far as the instructions of carrying out baptism than what most people want to consider or to think. First of all, turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 21st chapter. We'll begin with verse number 23 through 27. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Now, authority was important back then. Authority is important now. The authority of God is essential in our lives if we're going to, in any capacity, serve him. All right, Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And there, if we want to serve the Lord, we must find the answer to that, the true answer to it. Are we serving men or are we serving the Lord? And authority is what depends on which one we're serving. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So, scriptural baptism is what we're looking at this morning. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 2 through 6. You have to have a scriptural candidate for baptism. One who is prepared and qualified to have baptism administered to him. So, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus, and by the way, that into is with reference to, or in connection with, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. One who is dead to sin is a candidate for baptism. Acts 8, and verse number 12. The Bible says, But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So, Acts 16 and verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So, baptism, to be a qualified candidate, you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You have to have repented of your sins and by faith trusted him. And that trust is not acknowledging or accepting intellectually. It is with the heart. And so, when one has really truly believed and trusted in Jesus, then he's qualified to be baptized. That leaves out all baptizing of all others, including infants, to whatever age that one might be. So you must have a born-again believer. You must have one who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You have to have one that has become a child of God through the power of God. John 1 and 12, he says that he gave them the power to become the sons of God. So you have to have a scriptural candidate for baptism from according to the scripture. You have to have a scriptural mode. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Baptism is immersion. It is submersion. It is emerging. It is a burial. And the burial is in water. The burial is in water. Baptizo is the transliterated word from the Greek, and it means to dip, and it means only to dip or plunge under. All examples of New Testament baptism are immersion. Look at Acts 8, verses 35 through 39. Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now there it is. Baptism is for the believer who has believed with all of his heart, fully trusted, totally put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. "If thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. Then in John 3, verses 22 and 23, notice they both went into the water. They come up out of the water. Baptism being a burial, so they had enough water to bury him or submerge him under the water. John 3:22 says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized," or immersed, or dipped, or buried. The Bible is harmonious. And for it to harmonize, we have to stay with the fact that baptism is a burial. Then in Romans 6, 3 through 5 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus," and that, remember again, that's with reference. The Greek word there is eis or eis, and it means with reference to or in regard to. "Know ye not that so many as us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death," or with reference to in regard to his death. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Burial. When you plant a seed, you bury it in the ground. You leave it out on top of the ground, birds will get it, the wind will blow it away, whatever have you. So baptism is definitely a burial in water. Which brings us to water being the element for baptism. And there are no exceptions. Matthew 3, verse 11. Matthew 3 and verse 11 says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." than in John 1:33, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit." So, notice, John, he that sent me to baptize with water, he that sent me to baptize with water, no exceptions. All right, so Jesus, John saw Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John, Jesus came to John to be baptized of him. And the reason that he was baptized, John says, he that sent him to baptize was to make manifest to the Israel that Jesus was the Son of God. And so therefore, he was baptized in order to show forth that he was the Son of God. And when one becomes a son of God and is baptized, it's to show forth that he is the Son of God. He was not baptized to become the Son of God. We're not baptized to become a son of God. But he was baptized to manifest to Israel that he was the Son of God. And then we are baptized to make manifest that we have become a son of God or a child of God. That's how simple that it really is. Look at Mark 13, verse 34. "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." You need a scriptural authority. Where is the authority for heaven's baptism today? Where is it? Is it of man? Well, if man-made churches administer the baptism, and it's by the authority of a man-made church, it's of man. But if you have a church that has descended from the church that Jesus built, then you have heaven's authority. That's where it's at. Listen, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. What house? The house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Spirit through Paul to Timothy makes that clear. And he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Where did he put his authority? He put it in the church. And then he said, "Now, church, you go to work. And you work under that authority." Now, that authority is from heaven, not of man. 28 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And by the way, Jesus has all authority. God, Father, has given no other authority but Jesus. He has all. All right, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations." Who's he talking to? He's talking to his called out chosen disciples. He's talking about his New Testament church, the first church, the one that he built personally. And then he placed the authority, his authority in that church. And he says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Now, he didn't give it to John's disciples, this authority. He didn't give it to all the saved, the family of God. The family of God, all the saved, has never been the church. It is not today, not according to Scripture. Every place that you find church, it's talking about a local visible assembly. As a matter of fact, the ecclesia, the word that church comes from in the New Testament, is a called out assembly. You can't call out an assemble, a universal church. Impossibility. His instructions are to local New Testament churches that he knew he would preserve his truths down through the ages through them, through the first church producing another church and another church and another church of like faith and order, continuing down to this day in which we live. Why? Because Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, but there'd always be a church, one of his, in spite of Satan and his work and many of mankind. So, Acts 2, 41 and 42. Then they, and this is talking about the church at Jerusalem and Pentecost in that era. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Church, you go. Church, you have authority in you. Now execute and carry out that authority. And it must be executed and carried out according to the word. All right. There must be a scriptural administrator. And ordained, scripturally ordained, minister or pastor or preacher. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 5. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. Then in can't deny that John the Baptist was a God-called ordained preacher sent out by heaven's authority. Matthew, the third chapter, verse number 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Why? Because he was a God-called ordained preacher. Is the authority in the preacher? No. The preacher is an administrator for the church. And the preacher only administers baptism. And by the way, a church has never administered baptism. We'd have a hard time getting the whole church up here in the baptistry and dunking the candidate. The church authorizes. The church places the authority of Christ on the candidate in the baptism. And the minister, the God-called preacher, is ordained in order to administer the ordinances to his New Testament churches. And so it takes a God-called ordained preacher to administer water baptism. 1 Peter 1, or rather 2 and 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, what did he do? He looked up John the Baptist, a God-called ordained preacher, authorized to administer, to preach the gospel, to teach, and to baptize those that repented and were saved. Now, he says we're to follow in his steps. There's the biblical example. That's why it must be a God-called ordained preacher. A preacher on his own, if he's God-called and ordained, cannot administer water baptism. That water baptism must be administered by the authority that comes through a local New Testament church. If people just get that straight, they'd understand it. It's simple, and so simple that smart people want to make it hard or difficult or to where you can't understand it. Acts 1, 21, 22 says, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. The greatest witness of his resurrection is administering water baptism. Amen. And I'm convinced that this the other teachings in the scripture show forth that ordination is for the purpose of administering for the churches. And the greatest witness, it said he would be a witness. Doesn't say he was a witness. He would be a witness. And administering baptism is a great witness. All right. All New Testament examples are God called preachers. The church, again, does not perform baptism, but she oversees it. Church is to oversee baptism. Baptism is a church ordinance. And so the church is part in it is to authorize and oversee it. See that it is administered properly. Now, the church has individuals up here seeing that it is administered properly, seeing that the candidate is buried so that you don't have to do it over again one day. All right. The first step, or to declare Jesus to others. The design, the scriptural design of baptism is to declare Jesus to others. It is, in the main, to qualify one for being a member of a New Testament church. Look at John 1, 29 through 33. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now there you have it. John come baptizing with water, baptizing Jesus to make manifest that he was the Son of God. Not in order to become, but was. Same with us. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. So, it's to declare Jesus to others. It's the first step in putting on Christ. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we're baptized, we're identifying with Christ. And it's like a soldier. A soldier can go to the induction center, he can sign up, everything all taken care of, and be sworn in and become a soldier. But until he puts on the uniform, no one knows that he's a soldier. This is what baptism is. It's showing forth, it's putting on Jesus Christ, that others may see him in us and glorify the Father in heaven. It is to show or to picture the gospel. Romans 6 and 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Then 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. It's to show or picture the gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, inasmuch as burial necessitates a death, and baptism pictures the burial, and one then knowing that there had to have been a death, a dead to sin, alive unto the Lord. All right. It's commanded for every believer. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38, by the way. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 10:48 of Acts. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him tarry certain days. Acts 22 and 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. By the way, that washing away is a manifesting that sins have been washed away. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, it's a contradiction to the scripture. Water does not wash away sins. Water in the Lord's Supper has nothing to do with cleansing of sin. It has to do with reminding us of what our sin did to Jesus and what he was willing to pay and sacrifice in order to preserve us eternally, that we might be together with him and rejoice forevermore. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. The Spirit of God has convicted your heart. And you know that you need to come to the altar. You know that you need to seek the forgiveness of God for your sins. You know that something just isn't right in your life. Come to Jesus. Look to him in faith. Trust him. Reach up with your heart. Don't just come and talk, but come and bring it from the heart. And when you will, and you're truly sorry for your sin, you'll be willing to fully turn and fully trust Jesus as Savior. That's repentance. And it takes repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
396.
How about it this morning? If you're here and you're not sure, you're here and there's any question or any doubt about your salvation or about your baptism, why don't you come? Come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to this preacher. I'm not asking you to come to this church. I'm asking you to come to Jesus.